And welcome back to Amplify with Purpose, the podcast where we explore what it takes to live well and lead on purpose. We discuss everything from business strategies to transformative leadership and personal development. In every episode, we share practical tips designed to help you live your best life. My mission is to help you live a life on purpose and amplify your impact. So whether you're looking to amplify your business, enrich your personal experiences, or just to find a little bit of inspiration, you're in the right place. Today, it is my absolute pleasure to welcome back to the show, Christo, who is also known as The Expander. He is a seasoned leader with a wealth of experience in cultivating effective leadership styles and leaders and people and growing teams and just expanding everything around him. So today, we are going to be talking about all things leadership, but we are bringing it home. What does it mean for you and how can you develop your own leadership style? Christo, thank you so much for joining me again today.
Thank you, Adette. That's always a great honor and I see it a privilege of being here and joining this conversation with you. Leadership is definitely a passion for both of us. And so I really look forward to today's conversation. I believe there's some good nuggets, some nice gold that will be developed in the lives of every person watching. So thank you for joining us as well, those of you watching live today.
Beautiful. For those of you who may or may not have seen the like little bits on Instagram or on Facebook or on LinkedIn, I talk about your leadership style is as unique as your fingerprint because we are all created uniquely. And I think that's an amazing way to start. But before we jump into the broader topic, I want to know, Christo, we need to clarify, in your view, what qualities are essential for effective leadership and why are these qualities so important? If it's that we're so unique and we're so different, what are those things that even though we're different and unique, we have to remember to keep in place?
I think over the years, I've narrowed down to four qualities that I try and live by and definitely look for these qualities in other leaders. And it's definitely key to my life. So it's care. You have to care for people. You have to connect to people. You have to communicate and you have to compliment. I think it's John Maxwell that says, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And so I believe in today's day and age, that is vitally important. If you want to lead a group of people and you don't care for them, it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. Those people are going to follow you simply because you have the position. You have the title of leader, but they're not really following you because of what you carry and who you are. And I believe it's essential if you want to have a strong team and you want to have buy-in from people that you care for those people that you lead, that you take responsibility for those people. To connect with people, also very important. John Maxwell, once again, he says, if you don't get along with people, you won't go along with people. And having those connection, genuine connection with people that last more than just the project or the span of the work that you are doing, but years in the future, I believe is important. So you got to find ways that you connect with people. I've realized this also over the years that it's easy to connect with people that you get along with and that you like. It's a different story to connect with people that you don't like and that you don't get along with and that you don't maybe see eye to eye. But within a team and within leading people, it's important to find those ways and maybe a skill on how to connect with people. Communication, I think it speaks for itself. It's vital. If you can't communicate vision, a dream, an idea, it's going to be difficult to lead people. And lastly, like I said, compliment. I believe it's so important to compliment people. Can you see the difference and the value in someone else? Can you acknowledge that? And can you voice that? I think it speaks volumes of the maturity and the character of a leader if they can compliment other people. A real genuine compliment in who they are and what they carry. So those four things for me, absolutely crucial.
I love that. I love care because for those of you who've been around for a while, I'm all about the heart. We need to connect with people. We have to connect with their heart. Heart for me is that you love someone and we don't have to love like you love your spouse, but like you love your dog, right? And you would take care of your dog and you would first do no harm and whatever. But that's important. We have to love people. And I say that, and those of you who do know me knows that I have a very small circle. I'm not the social butterfly, but that doesn't mean that I don't love people. And those people who I do connect with are super important to me. And I think you mentioned something really important. The part of complementing speaks volumes about you as a mature leader, but it also, like, if we can just realize that nobody wakes up in the morning going, I'm going to be the worst person on earth today, and I'm going to do the worst job I can. I don't know of anybody that I've ever met that's woken up with that attitude. Everyone wakes up, they want a sense of belonging, they want to be part of something bigger, and they want to know that they matter. Those things mean that we have to care for them. And if you compliment someone, they go, somebody saw me, right? Someone has acknowledged my existence, and I'm not just another number. In today's world, with the global business that we're in, with the fact that you can buy anything from anywhere in the world and speak to someone across borders and oceans and continents, people feel invisible. And by making them feel visible, you get so much more from them, because now they feel like they have an impact.
Yeah. And when you speak to their value and their difference and the uniqueness, what they carry, it's almost like you're drawing out more of that by giving the compliment. I always say that got to be real and authentic. It's easy to just say to somebody, hey, you've done a great job, but it's to look beyond the obvious and to really find that difference and that uniqueness of that person. And I've seen how people just, they start to flourish when you can genuinely give them those compliments. Listen, life is tough and there's so much negativity in the world. It won't cost us anything to just find something good inside of somebody and just acknowledge that.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. So obviously you've been on this leadership journey, both formally and informally, pretty much your whole life. That's quite how leadership happens. You don't intend to do it and then you do it and here you are. Can you share your journey in developing your own leadership style? Because it is very unique. It's very different, but it's also quite magnetic. And I'd love for you to, if you could share what experiences and influences have shaped your leadership approach.
I don't want to give away my age, but I started my leadership journey in 1990. And I'd say probably the next decade after that really solidified my leadership style. There's really three instances that I want to just allude to. The first one was my grade two teacher, Miss. She asked me this one day. She asked me this question. I was playing rugby and I was the fly half. And so it was my responsibility to kick off and get the game started. And she asked me this question about how do you decide which way to kick? And I still remember, I said, you pick up the grass and you would throw it in the air and you would see which way the wind blows. And then once you see which side the wind blows, you then assess and you decide which side of the field you want to kick to. But it wasn't until 2016 that I've realized and recognized, oh my word, my journey of leadership actually started way back. And I remember that story so well. And I remembered when she spoke to me that day that I realized, hey, I'm a leader because it's my responsibility to lead the team. It's my responsibility to make decisions on which side of the field we're going to kick and what will be the direction. And for me, leadership, first of all, is that understanding of I'm responsible for people that I maybe were not aware of, situations that I might not have been aware of. And so it started all the way back in grade two. And I've realized this as well, Odette, is sometimes we lead without knowing that we are leading. And I think that is one of the best places to be because it's real authentic leadership that takes place. It's just a natural occurrence. A second instance was in 1995, which was a cricket coach, Meneer Bauer. He passed away many years ago, but he called us his little Springboks. And I remember whenever we would go out and play this cricket match, he would always say to us that when we win the toss, we would then decide to bowl first because we're going to bowl these guys out very quickly and then we can get the runs. And we were all excited, you know, because we were winning every single game, but we never really got the opportunity to make a lot of runs because we always bowled the opposition out for a very little score. But what he taught us many years ago is that you play towards your strengths. And our strength was to get a good bowling attack on the go, get them out for a low score, and then we'll knock off the runs. And I think leadership, for me, second, yes, is about playing towards your strengths, no team goes out there and play towards their weaknesses. But when it comes to leadership, sometimes we put ourselves in these awkward positions that is not our strong suit. And so I would encourage you is that play towards your strengths. And then the last real impact in the beginning years of my leadership was in high school in the year 2000 with another cricket coach near Bradford. And we actually, on one occasion, was speaking to one of the parents of the team that we were playing against. And he said to them, he says, I'm coming with a one-man army and I'm going to destroy you guys. And I only heard this a couple of years later. And the gentleman, actually the kid's dad, actually told me the story. And he says, when Mr. Bradford said, I'm coming with a one-man army, he said he knew that I was in the team, I was going to lead the team. And what it did for me is I realized the value that this coach placed on the inside of me. On that specific day, I didn't play a good game. I didn't make runs. I didn't take wickets. But what I did do well is the way that I led the team and the way that I played certain people in certain positions. And so for me, leadership, my benefit was that I could lead people in sport, in something that I absolutely love to do. And so that's where my journey started. My leadership style is a very practical aspect. You will find practical examples in what we do. There's a lot of stories that I like to allude to from past because that was the setting. And I think I was fortunate that I didn't look for leadership. Leadership found me in these places and these positions that I was thrust in to lead at a young age. And so that's really where my journey started. That's where my leadership style started. And those three teachers, I think, plays a vital role in the beginning formation time of my life and my leadership journey.
I think that's important to point out because if your leadership style is as unique as your fingerprint, then it stands to reason that we all have different stories to tell and the setting and context is different and what you extract from it is different.
Yeah.
You are a sporty guy. You enjoy sport. You enjoy rugby. Your family is into it. It's just quite natural for you to be doing something, running, cricket, whatever. And from that, you extract insights that you are able to apply in life.
Absolutely.
And same is true for anyone else. Perhaps you're not a sporty person, but you're quite creative. I've met a couple of creative people who are amazing leaders, but they don't have one sporty analytical bone in their body. Everything is about color and free and creativity. And yet they are amazing leaders with beautiful perspectives on life. And they're able to connect with people. Like we said in the beginning, it's about connecting with people. And the way that we do that is through the stories that we tell. And some leaders are more theoretical, if that would be the right word. Definitely. Most of the people who come on the show are practical because I'm pragmatic. I can't help it. I love being able to do stuff and to say, okay, how do you do this thing? Because that's in my nature. And therefore I attract people who are also pragmatic. But obviously life isn't all sunshine and roses, even though we'd love to think that it is. What are some of the challenges that you've encountered in your leadership journey and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, so I think the biggest one for me was around about 2004, 2005. I just started out at the church in MCFC and I was the youth leader. We went on this hiking trip that we arranged for the young people. And on day two, I was done with hiking. I was done with the heat. I was done with the humidity. And quite frankly, I was done with everybody complaining about it's so tiring and they're tired and they're hurting. And what I did is I said to him, listen, I'll meet you all at base camp. I'll see you later because I'm done. And I was probably about 20, 22, 23 at the time. And when I got to the base camp and everybody started coming in like the next hour or 2 hours or so, there was one particular lady and she was much older than all of us. She wasn't part of the youth, but they enjoyed the outdoors and they wanted to come on this trip. And she walked up to me and she wasn't completely saved. And she climbed into me and she told me, like shouting at me, saying to me like, you are not a leader. A leader never, ever leave his people behind. And as she's going on, I'm thinking to myself, who are you? Who do you think you are? You're not even supposed to be on this trip. I did a favor for your dad that asked me if you can join. And I was just thinking, you're not even safe. And I'm the youth leader. And who do you think you are? And as I was driving home that evening, those words I did kept ringing in my ears, kept ringing in my heart. A leader never leave people behind. A leader never leave people behind. And that day I realized one of the most vital principles in leadership is that the people that you lead, they are your number one responsibility. And it was tough. Listen, it was tough for me to recognize and realize that what I did was wrong. All these people, all these parents trusted their kids in my care. And I didn't do a good job. I left them out there in the middle of the hiking trip. Thank God everybody came back home safe. But that was probably one of the biggest challenges for me in the beginning stages of leading. To take advice from somebody that I didn't respect it at the time, but I promise you today, I so much value what that lady did that day. She set me out straight. And from that day, I've made it a decision that the people that I lead, they're my responsibility. The people that I lead, their needs matter more than my agenda. My agenda was to get home, but their need was I'm hurting, I'm struggling. And so as a leader, I wanted to just set the pace and kept running, kept going, where I now realize that it's more important to have the entire team completing the journey or the exercise or the program than me running ahead. And lastly is to just be willing to sacrifice personal success for team completion. Leadership is not about me as an individual. And I thought that's what it was, because in my sporting career, everybody would praise and acknowledge when you did something great, when you scored the winning runs, when you scored the winning try, when you made the right decision. So in my beginning years, as much as sport was a great foundation and formed my leadership style, to an extent, it went to my head where I thought leadership was about me and what I do well. And that I was straightened out that it's about the people that you lead. And so yeah, I would say that was probably one of the biggest challenges that I faced when it comes to leadership. And maybe just encouraging people out there is, you're going to make mistakes when you lead. If you're going to try and lead perfect, you're going to probably be hesitant because you don't know what you don't know. Just be willing to reflect, be willing to receive correction, be willing to adjust and set a new course.
Thank you for sharing what is actually quite a vulnerable story, I think. And I want to point out something about leadership, and that is that it doesn't necessarily matter where the feedback comes from, but a good leader is able to look at it and remove the emotion and say, okay, how can I use this to be better? How can I use this to improve? What part of me is true in what was said? And is it something that needs to be addressed? And in this case, it was something that needed to be addressed. I think while it was a vulnerable story and a probably not the best moment in your life, and you look back and cringe on it, I'm sure, because it's just the nature of things, I think it shaped who you are today, because the person that left the group of kids behind, I never met that person.
Okay.
I have known Christo for what feels like a lifetime, certainly for my lifetime. And yeah. I never met the person that leaves the people behind. Now, I was also never on that trip. So I may have been, if I was on the trip, one of those people who probably pushed you a little bit too far. And then here we go. But the important thing we need to realize is A, that we'll make mistakes, and B, feedback comes in all shapes and sizes.
Yep.
It's not necessarily, look, we all like John Maxwell. We do.
Yep.
I personally have not met him, nor have I had a face-to-face conversation about the day-to-day nitty-gritties about my life, my business, and my leadership style and content. So therefore, he is never going to give me feedback about the specific things I do. However, the people around me that I may or may not like are going to give me feedback. My children are going to tell me that I have a resting grumpy face, which I need to address. my husband's going to be like, listen, you're moving too fast. You need to slow down. And I'm going to be like, oh, is this just this moment? Or is that a character flaw? Is that something I do? The people in my team are going to say, hey, we don't quite understand. You're moving too fast. Slow down. I could choose to write it all off as, what do you know? Or I could say, what part of this do I own? And what part of this can I go and work on so that I can be a better leader? Because we're talking about leadership as the journey, which means there is no end destination per se. And we are being transformed and transfigured as we go along. And those little bits and pieces that are like a little bit out of joint or too sharp or too edgy get smoothed out with the stones that we tumble in. Like we're that rough stone in the river water, and the river is just like doing this the whole time, giving us feedback, telling us things we don't want to hear, telling us those things about how we totally suck at this one thing until we are the smooth stone. And I think that's beautiful. And I think it's important for our viewers and even for myself sometimes to remember, it's not about doing it right. It's about removing the emotion and saying, what can I learn from this? So Christo, who other than John Maxwell, because obviously he's one of the people that influences your leadership style. We know that. I would love to know who else, besides the obvious, influences your leadership style, and what was your biggest lesson that you would love to share with us?
Yeah, so who really influenced me as a leader in the beginning years, I would definitely say my dad. I didn't realize it at the time. Maybe that's a trend. I don't realize everything at the time, but later on when I reflect. But when I look back over my life, I realize my dad has taught me so many valuable lessons, so many things that I'm doing even today. I can trace back to a moment or an experience or a saying that my dad, and I think not just leadership, but mindset was a big thing that my dad instilled in us. He had the saying, Afrikaans saying that, "Dis hier waar die seuns van die manne geskei word." And it just simply means is this is where the boys and the men get separated. And so what he was doing when he was saying that is he spoke to our potential. Wow. He spoke to our ability and not so much to the situation or the moment that we found ourselves in. And he encouraged us to dig deep and to find that strength and to find that courage with inside of us to overcome whatever situation or obstacle it might have been. Once again, for me, many of these moments was in sport, wasn't so much when it was academia or any test of patchy, right? It was more in the sport fields where he would encourage me with these type of sayings that has helped me and also realize that I'm the leader. So you got to just man up. You can't come and complain about this. In sport, like life, things aren't fair. You rock up on a sports day or a cricket match and the wicket is green, which is not ideal for if you're a batsman because the ball's going to move all around. But what do? You just got to make the best of the situation. And my dad would always encourage me in that regard. So he played a big role in my life in the beginning years when it comes to leadership and especially, like I said, mindset. Later on, Apostle Nicky, which I worked with him for 2 decades at the ministry at NBCFC. He's really opened up my mind and understanding in the area of he can cast vision. He can cast vision ahead of time. He's really good. With that regard, God has just blessed him. He's a pioneer in many ways. And so he's really encouraged me as a leader to always cast a vision and have vision in front of the people. Definitely a growth mindset as well in bettering yourself, learn and grow. He always would expand us in going to different churches, different conferences, going to different countries and just experiencing what's possible. And I think it's important for a leader that you need to also be able to cast a vision, have that ability. What is vision? It's simply to see beyond. It's to see what others don't see. And he's played a vital role in my life. And I am very fortunate to, on a personal aspect, he's involved in my life and established a lot of things for many years. Yeah, I think those are two key figures in my life. Leadership for me, what I've also seen is that you can learn from anybody. And I think that's where I'm now is I look at people, I look at situations and I find principles, leadership principles that I can work and live by. But those two gentlemen, definitely in the beginning years of my leadership journey, played a phenomenal role.
Beautiful. So for the parents out there, Your kids will at some point recognize the awesome lessons that you teach them. I'm telling myself this as well. At some point, they will realize all the cool stuff we've taught them. But the reality is we are all leading in some aspect. Sometimes it's leading your family. Sometimes it's leading a team at work. Sometimes it's leading a team at church. And sometimes it's leading the coffee order when you're, all your friends are out at a cafe getting something to drink and nobody can just figure themselves out. So then you go, okay, wait, guys, we need to get something to drink because I'm parched. So we're all leading at some point in time. Don't for a moment think that you're not a leader, that you're not born to lead, that this is not for you, because I do believe it's for everyone. Krista, what are some of the practical tips for those looking to develop their leadership skills and styles that you have?
Yes, Dr. Nelly Swanepoel, she wrote this book on water-like leaders and strategy. And so she really fuses her passion for water and her great ability as a leader. And she wrote this incredible practical book. For me, like I said earlier, to have the ability to lead on the sports field. And so the first thing I would encourage you is you need to find the place or the environment where leading comes naturally. And like I said, if I read the book from Dr. Nelly, she speaks from that dimension, and you can see the passion for what she loves comes in line with the leadership. And she sees leadership as water is moving and is being shaped by the movement of a river. And so you got to find the place that it comes naturally for you. And like I said, for me, it was sport. You need to look for that and see, okay, but what is the places, the areas? It might be family, it might be friends. Like you said, the creative aspect. Some people, they can just see, when you walk into a room, what this room should look like when it's completed. They just have this creative ability. Some people have a very strategic mind when everybody is struggling, like how and where and when should we start and where should we go? And you get the plan and it's just out there and you can go for it. Some people are very calculated and they can quickly work out what it would cost us to do a certain project or where we need to move. And so whatever place or environment comes naturally for you, that'll be the first step that I would give people to lead if they want to lead on a practical way. Secondly, maybe you'll remember this, many years ago when I started out in ministry, I was the MC for every event. If it was a wedding, if it was a year-end function, if it was a children's ministry Christmas production, I was the MC. And you know what? Let me come out of and just be honest. I absolutely hate it. I was like, isn't there anybody else can be the MC? What I've learned is that if you accept the difficulties of leading outside of your comfort zone, you would see great growth.
So good.
So secondly, I would encourage you is to embrace the difficult things that are being thrust upon you and things that are outside of your comfort zone. Because in the beginning years, those things, once again, it helped me, it formed me. In the area of public speaking, thinking on your feet, this environment, I'm at somebody's 13th birthday party and the family wants me to come and be there. I don't know the kids. I'm 25, 26 year old. How do I know how to connect with kids? But it teaches you in those difficult moments how to connect with people. So accept the difficulties that are outside of your comfort zone. And then lastly, I would definitely say you have to embrace the responsibility that comes with leadership. A lot of people shy away from that responsibility. A lot of people shy away. There's that saying that says, cometh the man, cometh the hour, or cometh the hour, cometh the man. BMT, big match temperament. We see the exclusive people that just stood up in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of tremendous danger. And we remember their names for decades and centuries because they embrace the responsibility of leadership. If you can apply those three practical aspects, I truly believe it will help you in your leadership journey. You can see how the first one is quite easy. It's find your natural place. That's easy. Everybody can do that. But then you got to start stepping out of your comfort zone. It's a little bit more difficult. And then for me, like the ultimate level or dimension of leadership is when you embrace that responsibility. When nobody else wants to do it, you lift up your head and you go for it. And so those things will really shape and mold and form your leadership style, your leadership journey. And what happens, so dear, I think it's Warren Buffett, he speaks about your circle of competence. When it comes to investing, he says, just invest in your circle of competence. And so that's that area that comes naturally. But as you grow, as you develop, as you step out of your comfort zone, that area starts to increase. And yes. And over time, over decades of leading, the area that you lead that's easy becomes bigger. And so there's bigger responsibility, there's bigger comfort zone. And then there's the bigger embracement of responsibility of leading people. I'm not leading 3 people anymore. You're now leading a lot more people. We're leading leaders of organizations, leading leaders of churches. And that responsibility then becomes bigger and bigger. But we don't start out there. It starts with small steps that you take. So I hope those 3 practical examples can help somebody today to embrace their leadership style and start developing it.
It's beautiful. I love that. I realized that I knew I was going to say I love that. I was thinking of something else to say, but I love that. I just do. It is what it is, guys. I love that. In terms of starting small, I think quite like you say, we often think that we need to wake up and be Walt Disney and have this multi-billion dollar production company that's global, that everyone knows. And it doesn't work like that. And then we get discouraged because nobody notices what an amazing leader I am. Can someone please just pay attention to me? But the reality is that when you are leading a small group of people, when you're leading 3 people and you make a mistake, you only impact 3 lives. When you are making a mistake and there's 20 people involved, it's 20 lives and the ripple of that. And the higher the leadership role or position or level of authority and influence you fulfill, the more responsibility you have to accept, as you said, it grows in stages because your impact is so much greater. When you're just leading yourself, it's just you. You do you. But when you are leading other people who trust you, because leadership is a position of trust, the impact of your decisions, the impact of the things you do is so much greater and has ramifications and ripples long far beyond what you can even imagine. And that's why accepting responsibility is so important. And I think that's why many people choose to shy away from it. And obviously, that's not the role we're in. So here we are today. Having said that, what are some of the common mistakes that you've seen leaders make and how can we avoid them?
Yeah, so I think there's 2 parts to it. I think, first of all, what are some misconceptions of leadership that I've found? I think this is important. In my journey of leadership, these are some of the things that people have said, that they think that leadership is something that just comes upon you. And all of a sudden, boom, I'm just this great leader. That's so far from the truth. Leadership is not just going to fall upon you one day. It's something that needs to be developed. It's something that you got to work on. A second misconception is that people think that a leader is the person that knows everything. And that's not the case. Yes, you got to know at least something within the industry or the area where you're leading. But a great leader knows the value and the skills and the knowledge that he has within his team. And so please don't think that you need to know everything. And please don't think that you got to be the super great, incredible leader to start. Anybody can start. You were speaking about Walt Disney and Disney World, incredible place. But do you know that the story goes that Walt Disney was fired from his job because he wasn't creative enough? And just think about that. Imagine he just took that and said, it's probably the truth. Let me just go do something else. We would never have had this incredible childhood experience of Disney World and everything that brings. But sure, so those are, I think, 2 very big misconceptions that people have about leadership, that you need to know everything and you got to be this full package when you start. Some mistakes that leaders are making is we lead more with the title than with the influence. And I think it's important for us to understand, if I can give you a tip and advice for any young and new leader out there or anybody that's a seasoned leader, is don't lead with the title or the position. Lead with the influence that you have. John Maxwell says, if you are walking and nobody is following you, you're not leading, you're simply taking a walk. I've always been a person that I want people to follow me because they want to follow me, not because of the badge or the position or the title that I have. And yes, sometimes we need to refer people to us. And these are the positions and the titles and the authority that we have. And you'll have those tough decisions to make and draw on those things. But in general, lead from the place of influence, lead from the place of service, not from the title. And then secondly, I think mistake that leaders make is that when they make a mistake, they think it's the end of the world. They think they're a terrible leader. They think they're a bad leader. Just because you go through a bad situation or you make a bad decision doesn't make you a bad leader. Just because you fail doesn't mean make you a failure. If you quit, yeah, then you fail. But you can learn from it. And leadership is so much about learning, reflecting, and then growing, adjusting, moving from that. I was watching the last 2 days. A lot of things have been said about Elon Musk, and they landed that rocket back into the launching pad with the handles. I was thinking about when he first launched the rockets, I think the first three exploded.
Yeah.
Now, but those things exploded in midair. I was thinking if that thing exploded on the weekend when it landed next to that massive building and structure, imagine the damage.
Yes.
I mean, just entire buildings that were surrounding. But he learned from his mistakes and he grew in that. He didn't attempt that on the first day when he started SpaceX. And so I think we need to learn from that as leaders, is that we're growing and we will make mistakes. Maybe lastly is that we want to lead now where people, we want to lead now at the same level in the same place that somebody has been leading for 10, 20, 30 years. It's great to have idols. It's great to have people that we admire. But understand, you're not going to lead at that same dimension, that same place where that person is at. It's the same mistake that new entrepreneurs make. You ask them like, okay, so what do you want to do? No, I want to be like Apple. I want to be like SpaceX. I want to be like Amazon. And it's great and wonderful to have a vision where you're aspiring to. But if you go and speak or you go and study any one of those companies I've mentioned, none of them started out saying, I want to be like. No, they just had a vision that they want to do things differently. They never wanted to build this multi-billion dollar organization. That grew as the years go on. Apple didn't start out being this incredible tech giant with multiple industries and multiple aspects that they're moving in. Amazon just started with selling secondhand books.
Yes.
So lead from where you're at. Lead from where you are comfortable, what comes easy. And as you grow in your journey, that vision will grow. It will increase. As I'm saying that, maybe a false mistake leaders make. They think that the vision that they set now is going to be the vision forever. And they feel that they can't change or adjust or move. It's going to grow. It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. You're going to grow into that. Maybe that's all. Maybe that helps you.
Yes. Don't marry your vision. One of the first things I do when I do strategy sessions with my clients is we review the purpose. Are we still connected to it? Does this still align? Does this still ring true and resonate for us as an organization, as the leaders of the organization? And the next step is then, if this is still the purpose, is this still the mission? Are we still driving towards this thing? Why is that important? Let's take COVID, for example. COVID changed industries forever. Pre-COVID, people in America did Zoom meetings, and South Africans were like, Zoom meetings, are you crazy? Why would I do that? I'm going into the office, I want to see you face to face. Post-COVID, there is Zoom, there is Teams, there is StreamYard, there is Google Meet, there is an entire industry built purely on online streaming software, meeting software, meeting people anywhere on any screen, on any device. If we had stuck with the vision that we had, where people have to be in the office, then some industries would have fallen apart. Now, it's not good. But the advent of a global disaster created new industries, which created new visions, which created the necessity for organizations to shift. That is true for the smallest of businesses to the biggest of businesses.
Yep.
The environment around us is constantly changing. Dr. J has a stat that she likes to quote, and it's something like, there is now more information in one day than they had in, I think, 50 years or something in the, I want to say prehistoric age, but that's not true, in the 1950s, right? Now consuming, generating, and creating more information today in one day than we did in a 50-year cycle back then. If we were to stick to the vision we had 50 years ago, none of us would be relevant.
Yeah.
None of the businesses that are standing today, Apple would not be Apple, and they would not have what they have. Unfortunately, that's why Kodak doesn't exist anymore, and neither does Blockbuster Videos, because they stuck to one thing and didn't bother to reassess. And maybe it was a matter of, we don't need to. Maybe it was a matter of feeling silly about, yep, this is our thing. This is what we're doing. Why should we change? Whatever the case is, had they reassessed, had they reviewed it periodically, given the new information in the environment, they could still be relevant today. And that's why it's important for us to review it. It's not a silly thing. It's not a mundane thing. And if your coach or business mentor says, okay, let's quickly revisit your purpose and your mission statement or your vision, whichever you use, they're doing this with your best interest in mind. So please go and revisit it, so that you know that you're still going in the right direction. You're still on the right track. And if there's something that needs to pivot or shift, you can do it before it's too late. Sometimes it just is too late and you have to pack up. Then it's the end of the game. You mentioned something really cool in the beginning and throughout the conversation, and that's feedback, that dreaded word that a lot of people don't like. But feedback is obviously important. So how important is feedback in developing your leadership style, and what strategies do you recommend for seeking and receiving feedback?
Yeah, so I would say self-reflection is pivotal. Introspection is key. Winston Churchill says that, or said, however great the strategy, we sometimes need to look at the result. And so I believe that we need to look in first to establish a strong basis of who you are before you start asking. So for me, feedback is very important. But before that, I would encourage you to develop introspection, self-reflection. I did what I've seen so many times is that, especially with young leaders, they are so obsessed with what people are saying about them and about their leadership that, and you spoke about vision and getting back to vision, that they get sidetracked. And they don't lead from a natural position of who they are and what it is that makes them great. They run to everybody and they listen to what people are saying. And that forms a basis or an identity of who they are as a leader. And I want to encourage you first to establish a true core of who you are through self-reflection and introspection. Then once you have that strong basis, feedback is critical to keep you in line with that vision and where it is that you want to go. If I had to listen to everybody that gave me feedback on how and where and how I should lead, I would have probably been a leader that I was not happy with. People think that maybe these people are going to guide and shape my leadership. And yes, it's true. But what's his name? Dr. Sam Chan says, God forbid we reach the top of an industry or a life only to realize that the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. And so I would encourage everybody, first of all, find what is that direction, what is that type of leader you want to be, and then get feedback that leads towards that. There are so many people that are leading without identity, that are leading without authentic leadership. They're leading from a book. They're leading from knowledge. And those things are important, but you've got to lead from within. I truly believe that. I'm actually looking at this thing called situational leadership. And if I look at the life of Jesus, there are so many times where he's doing the thing that's not obvious, that everybody thinks he's going to do. He spits in the ground and he forms clay and he puts it in somebody's eye. It's not your ideal healing strategy if you want to heal somebody. But what he's doing and what I'm seeing and what I'm busy looking into is situational leadership, is that we need to look at the situation and how we will respond and how we will act or react. And maybe it's because I'm a father now as well, where I'm realizing that, like, Christy got up again, like last night at 11, 12 o'clock. I can't go into his room and be upset with him and say, listen, it's time to sleep. If he was 14 years old, different story. But because of the situation, you know, you need to use your intuition. You need to use your ability to assess. So I hope it makes sense. Feedback, absolutely key. We need to, if I never got the feedback from that lady way back then, I would not have been where I'm at. But I can promise you, while I was driving in the car back home, I was playing this thing over and over and over. And I made the decision, I want to be a person that is responsible for other people. And maybe that's even more important as to, when I say agree to the feedback, it's not from a superficial level, it's from a deep core belief in who you are. So please, I'm not saying don't take advice and don't listen to leaders and mentors around you. They are key. But I do believe there's an element of debt that I've seen where people are leading purely because of what people are telling them. And what happens with those people is today, they are a practical leader. Tomorrow, because they're speaking to an analytical person, now they want to analyze everything and they want to be analytical. And then when they come into this creative space, and it's almost like we have this chameleon leadership, chameleon, they don't even know who they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, well, I don't remember the person that said the quote, but they said, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. And I think especially in today's day and age, we see that our politicians, especially in this country, they just go with the flow. Whatever is the flavor of the week, that's what they stand for and that's where they go. And I believe we need strong leaders that can chart a course and that can stay the route on what they decided and who they are and what they want to achieve within their life.
I agree with what you've just said. We, on the way to school in the morning, read Dr. Caroline Leaf's book. She's got like a practical book on how to switch on your brain, and it's got like a little tip. And one of the thing that today was about is actually about the importance of deep thinking and introspection and silence and meditation so that the Holy Spirit could speak to you and so that your brain could process all of the information, everything that's happened, and just be quiet and internalize and integrate so that your brain can expand and think better and get great strategies. And all of that comes from the silence and the introspection and the decision to choose to be quiet and to choose to deeply think through things. And I think it's a skill we are rapidly losing because we live in a microwave world, because we're in a society that wants things now, and you're on the spot, you've got to make a decision, let's do it now. Whereas one of the core things I speak to my clients about is to slow down. There are times that you're going at 1,000 kilometers an hour and you just go. But when it comes to decisions, unless it's life-changing, life-threatening, life-altering decisions, quite often we have time to slow down and deeply think about things. And when we choose to do that, often our choice is different to what we would have done if we did it on the fly. And what you said is that you're encouraging leaders to reflect on what's been said and to integrate into your heart, which is one of the important things for me. Yep. Because it's from the heart that we lead. It's from the heart that we think. It's from the heart that we connect. Mm. It's integrating the information into who I am and how I show up and what that means.
Yep.
And that's important because you can't be authentic if you don't do that. And that's when you become that community leader that's analytical today, strategic tomorrow. And I've been there. I spent a lot of money listening to a lot of coaches will have differing views about who I am, what I should be. And it was only when I chose the leading of the Holy Spirit that said, you need to quiet these voices, you need to shut them down, and you need to do what you need to do, your purpose, your thing, is where I could find myself and go, oh, so this is what I do. Okay, that makes sense. It feels a lot easier. You no longer have to chop off your arm to fit into everyone else's box. You have your own box. And guess what? Your box has space for your arms so you can move. But you can't do that if you are just looking for feedback, the superficial micro feedback from everyone around you who aren't invested in your growth, who aren't invested in you achieving your purpose. And I think before we wrap up, I know this has been a long show. Something we need to bear in mind is that not everyone around you is rooting for you to win. And not everyone's feedback is coming from the place of wanting to see you achieve your purpose. And there is always a need for us to apply a layer of discernment over what's been spoken to us and over us and for us.
Yeah.
Because we are called to something and we have a purpose for something specific that's unique, like your fingerprint, only you can do it.
Yep.
And sometimes we allow people to speak into that and to speak into who we are. But that person is not speaking from the place of helping you achieve that purpose. They're speaking from a place of jealousy, of malice, of distrust, of actually this is trying to distract you. And we have to take a moment. My husband's really good at it. I have an action bias and my husband has a risk bias. So I am more likely to act and he's more likely to hang back. So together we are a good team. And he will quite often say, I'm thinking of, and then I go, great, you should do it. That's a fantastic idea. And when I speak to him 2 weeks later, he says, no, I decided to hang back on that. And now that I've looked at things, I actually realized that was not a right fit. And I'm like, this one, he's special. We have to just bear all of those things in mind when we choose feedback, when we choose to reflect. Christo, before we run, I would love to know, what is your key takeaway you could share with our audience today?
I would definitely say leadership is what you make of it. Leadership is what you make of it. It's one of the most fulfilling endeavors that you will ever partake in and go on. You will learn about yourself. You will learn about people around you. You will learn about situations and how you will respond, react to those situations. And just once again, as embark on this journey and make of it, make the best of it. It is when you start realizing that, and fortunately, I only realized it over the last about 5 years ago, the responsibility, but man, it's something that you're chasing business. You want to take more responsibility. You want to be responsible for greater things because you realize the impact that it will make. And if I look back over the years I did, probably the greatest thing that I've got from leadership is the feedback and the testimonies from people that are sharing with you where they were and how their life has been changed and how their life is better because of what you instilled in them. And I don't see myself as anything. Paul writes and he says that one waters, one plants, but God gives the increase. And then he continues, and many of us stop there. He continues to say, neither is he who plants or he who waters anything, but God that gives the increase. And so I had to learn that the hard way as well, that it's not about me. You know, the gifts and the ability that has been placed within my life, it's simply I need to be a steward of it. So I don't look at these experiences like, oh, I've done great. But I tell you, the fulfillment that you receive when you hear that people's life has been changed and impacted, I'm just saying thank you. And I promise you the same will happen to you, that people will start thanking you for the time that you've instilled in them. They would thank you for not looking past them. And they would thank you for pushing them and going deeper. And so, yeah, I would absolutely say leadership is what you make of it. It's a great journey. Enjoy it. Enjoy. That's it. Thank you once again for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. Thank you for drawing out these experiences and these memories. It's always a great time with you, Adit. I really appreciate it. I really do.
Thank you for joining me. And thank you for sharing your vulnerable stories and allowing us to learn from your stories. For those of you who have joined us live, thank you so much for joining us live and commenting. If you're joining us in the replay, hashtag replay in the comments. If you're not already following us and you're not subscribed, please do and subscribe. You know someone in your world that needs to hear this episode today. So make sure that you send it to them so that they can hear it and be encouraged and uplifted. And as always, we'd love to see you next week. Actually, no, on Thursday. So not next week. Thursday, we have Pastor Nikki Jr. the third, one of his days, and joining us to talk about team culture. I'm so excited about that episode. So this is a little bit of a plug for that episode. Please join us live. It's going to be amazing. Pastor C, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing with us and for coming on the show and giving us your insights. Have a beautiful day. I hope this was not too long. I'm going to end now. Bye.